This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Well, that was a pretty song, wasn't it? It has just gone 9 a.m. here at 92.7 Arrow FM, the most fantastic community station in the world. And I'm not biased at all, or highly opinionated. It's just what I think. It is 15 degrees outside, which was quite surprising, actually, and partly sunny. It was very cold when I came over Bennett's Hill this morning. And it was probably about 15 degrees when I left early this morning from Castle Point. So guess where I'd rather be. Hey, so guys, it's fantastic to be back. I haven't been here for a little while. There's been weather events and there's been human tragedies, and saying that I'm thinking of them all very much at the moment. And I will be doing a special show at some point, which we will talk about Pearl, Ali, and a few other people. I found out this morning, Chris Moa, who I had on the show last year in October, sadly passed over in February. So I'm thinking very much of him, and I will be posting the link to his interview later, because it's an absolutely beautiful interview with him where he really goes into why Rongua is important to him, traditional Māori healing and connecting with the land, which is that, and how much it changed him. So that's going to be a beautiful interview to rewatch. I may actually get them to replay that later. Anyway, not to be so dismissive, but good morning, everybody. I this morning have Deb Butterfield with me, and she is from the Tanui Food Forest. And this was somewhere me and Scott visited at the beginning of summer, or midsummer, I'd say, because there's quite a few plums in that. And I just thought this was an amazing, amazing place. And the statement underneath the in the website is, experience a beautiful restorative food forest, good for you and even better for the environment. We're going to get into that. Welcome to the show, Deb.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Oh, it's good to have you here finally. You've got an accent. I'm going to point that out straight away. You have an accent, and you have told me you are from
Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Yep.
So to me, it just seems a absolute mystery how a woman from Liverpool could end up where you are now. And I'd like to know, I've ruined it. I can't ask you where you were born. We now know. You were born in Liverpool, I'm assuming. That journey for you to grow up there to get to New Zealand, tell me.
Wow. Wow. It's a long journey. So I was born in Everton, which is part of Liverpool.
Yeah.
So of course, we support the Everton Football Club.
Yes.
And my parents, so my whole family was in Liverpool. And my parents were very young. I mean, my mother was only 17 when
she was. Oh, wow.
So they were a young couple.
Yeah.
And the first big move away from Liverpool came when we moved out to the outskirts of a place called Runcorn. And I remember that that was just over the River Mersey.
Yeah.
I can still remember, even as like probably a seven-year-old, that the whole family basically sent us away. Like, it was like we were leaving then.
Oh, wow.
Just moving over the river.
Yeah.
And so I suppose in those days you didn't move very far.
No.
And so when we moved to New Zealand, it wasn't such a big traumatic move because we'd already moved away.
How old were you when that happened?
I was about 8.
Oh, wow. And
yeah. So as you can hear.
Yeah.
I've kept the accent.
Yeah, good on you.
Well, I don't know, because it's like, I still get asked, oh, how long are you over here for?
Yeah.
It's a bit boring after 50-odd years.
Yeah, would do. That's fantastic. So you moved here when you were 8. Where did you move to in New Zealand?
So I found out later, after my parents had sort of passed away, that I suspect we were 10-pound Poms.
Yeah.
And we moved initially. Like, my father got a job sponsored, I guess, by a company called Wayfarer, and they used to make leather coats.
Okay.
I knew we owe Marta.
Oh, wow.
And so I can remember, like, we moved over here and we couldn't even say the place name that we were moving to.
No.
But my parents were sort of like quite go-getters, and they worked hard, and They basically got us into a they got the first house in Eastbourne, and it was a struggle. So Eastbourne in Wellington.
Oh, beautiful.
It was, and it was beautiful then. It wasn't not as sort of posh as it is now.
No, no, yeah.
They paid $17,000 for their first house in Eastbourne. But, you know, like, so I had a lot of my childhood growing up in Eastbourne, which was superb, you know.
What, right, were you on Ferry Road?
No, we were, we lived in a few places.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, Muirutai Road was our first one. And it was just like gorgeous, you know, like the bush behind,
yes,
the sea, and it was just fantastic.
Yeah,
the bush and the sea, beautiful place to grow up, and very fortunate, you know.
Yeah, my little brother lives there. He has a house there on Ferry Road. He's been there for years.
That's Days Bay.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. Yeah. So I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And how did you find schooling here?
I can still remember. Like being surrounded by kids and they're all asking me to talk.
They were,
you know, fascinated, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, it was a big transition. You don't realize how, as a child, you just accept what's happening and just you have to go with it. But looking back, it was actually quite a traumatic time, like to move away from all my family, apart from my parents.
Yeah.
Into, you know, a new country and
culture, climate, everything.
It was. But I mean, we had immediately we moved over here, like we were sort of semi adopted by some really lovely Kiwi
families. Good, yes.
Yeah, like they literally took the whole family under their wings.
I love that.
And taught us a lot of Kiwi stuff, you know, like this was in the 1970s.
Yes.
And there was like, you know, all the baking and the party, you know, like parties, card parties.
Yeah.
We used to play canasta and it was just
fantastic.
Very welcoming and lovely, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. A lot of that doesn't happen these days, but who knows, it could revive.
It was gorgeous, eh?
Yeah.
It was really lovely. I look back now and I think, gosh, they were amazing people just to welcome this young family in, you know?
Yeah, and they didn't have to and they did, but I like that. A lot of New Zealand is like that.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud of that as well. As a people, we are like that.
Yeah.
Also, so you've moved to New Zealand. You're a young girl. You're getting into everything. You're discovering New Zealand. What is it that little Deb wanted to be when she grew up? Little Deb.
Yeah. Oh, well, I had two interests growing up. One was politics.
Oh.
So I was very, very staunchly political.
Wow.
You know, so it was just part of the scene then, you know?
Yeah.
And then the other part was I loved to grow things.
Yes.
And so, you know, like from a young age, I was growing plants and loving herbs and all sort of thing. Oh, wow. But I ended up going to university studying politics.
Did you? So political science?
Yeah, yeah. And funnily enough, like I was sort of quite radical in my thinking in terms of, just as a young person,
I
remember going to the anti-nuclear protests. And
same.
Yeah.
As a little girl, yes.
And the anti-apartheid protests.
Yeah.
So then I went to university and studied political science. And it
blooming
took away the whole – it taught me to analyse situations and take a more balanced view. And it's like, damn.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Where am I now?
That's what journalism did when I started studying it. I was like, I can't do this. Yes.
Yeah.
So that would have been quite interesting.
Hilarious, yeah.
So you left that. Let's just jump a bit.
Yeah.
And then you met. Let's go to Ray. Ray.
So before Ray.
Yeah.
I moved away from Eastbourne
and
I brought myself on my own a lifestyle block in Te Horo over
on the Kapiti Coast. Beautiful. Yes.
A couple of acres.
Oh, wow.
And that was my first I just wanted to get away from Eastbourne, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little bit small and my parents there and things and mum. And So got my first lifestyle block and the house was half finished.
Yeah.
And, that I brought.
How old were you?
About 27.
Far out.
So it was a huge move.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. I'd never lived in the country before. It was terrifying. No neighbours.
Oh,
you know, I can remember
love it.
My mother brought me this klaxon, you know, those things that you hear in the, when you go to the sports games and it goes,
yes, yes.
My mother brought me one of those in case there was any problems.
She's a smart thinker. Yeah.
And, so I had this couple of acres of land, a half finished house, and that's when I met Ray because he's a builder.
Oh, well, man, they're so handy, Ray. Oh.
Stuck around ever since.
Yeah. It's what the good ones do, though. They really do. Yeah. So you both were there in Te Horo.
Yeah.
Te Horo. Yeah. I guess I'm saying it right. And how did that lead? He was a builder and that was builder by trade. And
So I love growing things in Te Horo. We ended up, when we got married and started having children, we brought 15 acres of kiwi fruit, which we farmed organically.
Where was that?
That was in Te Horo.
Okay, yeah.
On Arcus Road, just off School Road in Te Horo.
I didn't know that. They grew kiwi fruit there.
Oh, yeah, well, it's probably a little bit cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's when I started, really started to look into permaculture.
Yes.
And food forests are part of permaculture.
Yeah.
So that's where my growing journey properly started.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, I think we built a house over there, we renovated another house, and then it was sort of like we felt we needed a change.
Yeah.
So we looked on the internet, as you do.
Yep.
And saw this place in Tanui.
Yeah.
And it was 30 acres, an old homestead, a big workshop, another house.
Yeah.
Could use for farm stays.
Yeah.
Another old, beautiful old cottage. And it was for a fraction of what you could, you paid a fraction of what you'd get in over on the Kapiti Coast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, we drove out there with the real estate agent and all the way he's going, this isn't for you. This is way too far out for you. You won't like this.
Yeah.
And we got there and we loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it was meant to be.
Yeah. And so we ended up in Tanui.
Yeah.
And we didn't know the area at all. We didn't know work prospects or anything.
No, no.
And so luckily enough, the local community just rallied around and they were delighted that a new builder had moved into the area.
Oh, yeah, they would be, yeah. Yeah.
And they just really supported us and Ray was never short of work.
No.
And so that gave me a bit of space to be at home with
the kids. Yeah, because this was 2001.
Yeah, 2001. Yep. So our youngest was 1 year old.
Yeah.
So I had a few years at home.
Yeah.
And then that's when the food forest journey started.
Okay, tell me about that. So Ray's at work, building, you're at home with the kids on this beautiful bit of land. How? Yeah.
So before I'd moved to Tanui, I'd been reading a lot about permaculture.
Yep.
And it was just like a really important concept for living and growing and being.
Yeah.
And I'd, strongly recommend anybody that's got a new piece of land or moved to a new location to really engage with permaculture and the principles because it just makes a lot of sense.
Well, you tell us now. You tell us why it makes a lot of sense and then we'll get back into that journey. Okay. Yeah.
So human beings, when we go and interact with the land, be it farming or living, we tend to go in and we tend to debase the environment.
Yeah.
So we go in there and we lose the soils. We remove a lot of the growth.
Yeah.
A lot of the ecosystem goes, and that's all about the way we interact with the land. Like we're trying to use the land to the most of its abilities.
Yeah.
And so permaculture says, right, that's an interesting way of being, but it's not so sensible.
Mm.
So permaculture, permanent agriculture.
I got it now, yeah.
Is trying to present an alternative so that we can live permanently in a space as opposed to going in, making it into a desert and moving on to the next place.
Yeah.
That's what we tend to do.
Yes.
We're actually running out of space. So it's quite important that we try and do things differently.
Mm.
So permaculture, it talks about different zones of activity. So zone one, close to the house, the most intense activity, the things you do every day.
Okay.
Zone two, zone three, zone four. So zone four is practically the wild area.
Yeah.
Food forests fit into permaculture. So, I mean, I say that, but food forests has been have been around as long as human beings have.
Yeah.
So human beings have always lived on the edges of forests.
Yeah.
Until we chop the darn things down. So for example, you know, like we have a lot of fields around.
Yeah.
And the origin of the word field is felled.
Oh.
Yeah. So basically.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So we always used to live with forests. We love living in forests. I mean, you can see the reaction. People go into a forest, they go, oh,
breathe, and you feel it, and you can feel everything.
Yeah. We need forests, and yet we've actually chopped them all down and done what we've done, you know?
Yeah, just quickly, in saying all of that, one of the things that when Chris Moore was here with his brothers, in a sense, talking about the bush, the Ngāhere to heal in, what you're saying is completely right as well. It's not just the healing in that as well that comes from it and being in it, because there's amazing things from that. It is the food as well and how we treat it and what we can get from it. Yeah. I just had to say that because it just really, ooh, goosebumps, made me remember how important it is to them. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, so human beings, we get into a place and we want to control it. So we and for us that means controlling nature.
Mm.
So you look at how we live, and everything is under control, right? Mm. So you know the mowed lawns, the clipped trees, the neat edges, the sprays, and all that sort of stuff, and that's to the absolute detriment of nature.
Mm.
So.
Mm.
It's just, it's a crazy way to live. Like, wherever human beings are, nature has to really take a back seat.
Yeah.
And so that's...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I know that you've got pictures with you. Should we have a... no, actually, just jump back to... So, did you sit down with Ray and go, I've got an idea, what do you think?
No, not at all.
No?
No. So, when we moved there in 2001...
Yeah.
It would... If food forests weren't a thing... So I would say to someone, oh, I'm growing a food forest, and you get a really strange, like,
what's
you know,
that?
You, what? What?
Yeah.
You know, back away slowly from the
place.
Whereas now, 20, 25, 26 years later, people go, you're growing a food forest. Wow.
Yes.
And so times have changed.
Yes.
Times have really changed. And there's a lot of people out there who are starting their own food forests.
Yes, so interesting. Yeah. So how did this start? Because it didn't just appear. How did you would have had to map it out?
Yeah. So basically I started off with, we had a 2-acre block. Running alongside like the small river that runs down all the way. That's where my food forest is going to be. And so, I started planting. So I had, a grass paddock. So it had been in pasture for, you know, goodness knows how many years, a really deep, thick grass growth.
Yeah.
And I started planting. So I planted my fruit trees because food forests are all about the different layers of growth.
Yeah.
So everybody wants to plant fruit trees first. Then you start planting your lower berries, currants, herbs, flowers. So you just start planting. And the whole point is to actually replace the grass with growth, broadleaf plants. And, Yeah, because the grass, you don't want the grass because that's grass is only good for the cows.
Grazing, yeah.
It's actually allelopathic, so it stops, it inhibits the growth of the plants around it to benefit itself.
That's why lawns take over. Yeah, like.
Yeah.
So with the broaderleaf plants that you're having at the bottom, they can be used as well, can't they? They've got things that then not a lot of them could be eaten.
No, it depends what they are.
But they can be used for other things like fertilizers and.
Yeah, yeah. So look, so the amazing things about the food forest is that, say, for example, we had 10 acres of apples. Our only product or our only thing that we got out of that really would be apples.
Yeah.
A food forest, you've got fruits, nuts, flowers, herbs.
Yeah.
Root crops.
I was just going to say that,
And so the potential range of everything you can do with them is amazing. Like it's almost like a creative process. It's like, gosh, you're growing what can I eat you? What can I do with you? And it's so much fun.
Yeah. You know, yeah. When I came to see you a few weeks ago, you showed me a forest parsnip. And the smell of it was strong, and that was beautiful. And the Jerusalem artichokes, which I took some and had planted. I wouldn't have thought of that. I wouldn't have thought I'm going to dig in the ground to look some food for food in a forest. And that's just a tiny bit of the stuff that grows there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Like it's coming into winter now.
Mm.
So the fruit and the berries are all gone. You know, they're all off the trees. But here we are still eating well out of the food forest.
Yeah.
Like I go out every night and dig up the parsnips, dig up the Jerusalem artichokes, forage around for what else is growing, the silver beet. And we've been eating a lot of stews lately, but it's really wholesome.
Yeah.
And it feels really good at this time of year.
Yeah.
And there's the food forest still feeding us. Even as we're getting to winter, you know.
Absolutely. So when you planted all of those, they've grown massively in 20 years, haven't they? Because I can't, visiting the place, I can't imagine. I can see it, but I just can't imagine it being the paddock. Yeah. We have some photos. While we're here, you guys can all see this at home on the TV, but you can't see it if you're listening to the radio for obvious reasons. I'm just taking you through the website for the Tanui Food Forest. And this bit here, what is that? That's where you walk through.
So that's so I've got 4 acres of food forest now, but that's the entrance to the original 2 acres.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And it's just beautiful. What we're looking at is a fence and archway, obviously made with wood from the forest. And you also do have animals as well, because they would be an important part of it, wouldn't they?
Yeah. I mean, we've got alpacas and goats and one sheep called Nelly and a few pigs, but they are primarily just part of the family, really. And, you know, so they're also
their poop?
Entertainment when, oh yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. So definitely I use the poop.
Yeah.
But the guinea fowl that we got, fantastic, crazy animals to have around as well.
Just scratching at the soil.
Yeah, so they go in and they eat snails and slugs and
Brilliant.
Yeah, so all the animals there.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah, they're all part of the system.
Yeah, and I haven't talked about this yet, and this is something I want to talk about. So we touched on the subject about how you're still feeding yourself from this season of the food forest. Look, if you weren't doing if you didn't have a farm shop, the food forest shop is an absolutely beautiful place to wander through. So there's a picture up on the screen right now, and that doesn't even do it justice. You produce so much food that you are able to make things and sell the food as well. You have very kindly brought in some, brought in some bread and butter pickles. And I can't wait. I'm telling you, I got some nice cheese at home, so this is going to be awesome. But the amount of food that you can make, how much is it? And it would change every year, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So what are you producing?
It's massive. So it's so during the harvesting season, which is really, I'm trying to think, like when the plums probably are the main thing that happen first.
Yeah.
So it starts with plums and it goes on to elderberries and it goes on to, you know, it just keeps going from
there.
And so, it's intense. So we get masses.
Yeah.
So our philosophy is we probably grow more than what we need.
Yeah.
We do grow more than what we need.
Yeah.
But we also grow more so that other animals, birds, and insects, anything out there in that ecosystem has enough to eat as well.
Oh, wow.
We deliberately grow more than what we want or need.
Yeah.
But that still gives me plenty.
Yeah.
To stock up for my shop.
Yeah, and the thing is like, so if you didn't have that shop, you would just have the most amazing stocks for yourself. So if you're thinking, I could do this and on a smaller scale, think of the food that you're going to produce that you can make into things and fill that pantry. Because these are staples. These will last, won't they? Like these.
Yeah.
And that people are very much getting into doing this sort of thing, the pickling and that.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
guys. It's not a new trend, but it is something that it's not everyone can do as well. But it is quite simple and easy, but it's getting the ingredients and the fact that you've grown them. But also it's not just food that you produce, is it, from things in your forest?
No, no. So, so I do a lot of infused oils. So in the summer, I'm busy harvesting the fruit and doing processing.
Yeah.
In the winter, like I've been collecting like flowers and leaves and, you know, herbs and things.
Yeah.
And so they get used, for making, some of the balms, scented candles.
Yeah.
Soaps.
Yeah.
So that's like my winter work.
Yes. I was just going to say, when do you do that? So it's a season for all the things that you do. And it's not just primarily out in the forest picking weeds and all that sort of thing.
No weeds. No
weeds. Only wild plants. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So human beings, like we love to say you're good and you're bad.
Yeah.
Right. So we go, you know, so you're a weed. You're bad.
Yeah.
You're a plant. You're good. You're a bad bird. You're a good bird.
Yeah.
What else do we have? Oh, you're a good insect. You're a bad insect.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So in the food forest, hell no.
Yeah.
We just have an ecosystem.
Yeah.
And we have, in the ecosystem, we have birds, insects, plants.
Yeah.
So there's none of this good and bad nonsense.
No.
I mean, I say that, like, we've got a possum trap and, you know.
So yeah. You know,
It sounds extreme, and it is a little bit, but
it's the country. Yeah. When you live in the country,
we want just as deep and intense an ecosystem as we can get it.
Yeah,
we welcome all life. So what happens is like you get all these different insects and birds and plants and everything growing, and it's healthy.
Mm.
It's absolutely healthy.
Oh, look, 100%. I can tell you, as me and Scott walked through it, you just used the word dense, and it's a perfect way to describe it. It is, you are in a beautiful ecosystem that is dense with life and growth, and you can feel it and you can smell it. And like me and Scott usually just go, oh yeah, and walk through things. We took our time and we were just looking and smelling and looking at things and experiencing it. So it really is. And oh my goodness. What the thing is that you are now the biggest or only food forest in New Zealand?
No. So I can't say we're the largest food forest because, down south Wairarapa, I think there's a huge food forest.
Yeah.
James Cameron, I think his got a huge food forest down south Wairarapa.
Yeah,
I've never been there.
Yeah.
And Robert and Robin Guyton they're down Reefton down south Island, and they've got, I think they started their food forest a year before we did.
Oh wow. But so
I can only say we're one of the largest and one of the most established.
But you are, and you very much are. And in 20 years to have established yourself so much to the point that you can now, you have a parking area, a farm shop, the toilet, the kitchen garden. You have all these things, but you also have, you are open for people to walk around.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't do the guided tour because we're too stubborn. We're like, we know it all, me and Scott. Of course we do. You can book a 2-hour guided walk of the Tanui Food Forest. And I would highly recommend this actually because you're learning firsthand from Deb how to do this and how she did it. Her and Ray have done this and the kids, I guess, have had something to do with it as well. So you're able to do that. And it's not just people turning up. You're also having schools and big groups as well.
Yeah.
When did the giving the tours start?
A few years ago. So before Cyclone Gabrielle, we opened.
Yep.
Then we closed.
Yeah. Right.
So it was really when the food forest reached a level of maturity and I was ready to sort of start. Yeah. It just reached a time in life
where
it was doable, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah. So, like, for me, like, you know, yes, we're open as a food forest and yes, we've got a shop. But a lot of what I do is trying to inspire people to do the same.
Educating as well, isn't it?
It's like letting nature in.
yeah.
into your life, into your garden.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's
letting so it important. Do its thing. Yes, it is important. You've actually brought some pictures, and it is hard to show these all the time. If we maybe, let's see. Ah, there we go. That way. No, that way. So we have the seven layers at the top. You can talk us down.
Oh yeah, yeah. So ah. So you've got the top layer, which is the canopy layer, tall fruit trees, nut trees. Also, you plant nitrogen fixing trees as well.
Yeah. You could just hold it like that you wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got the big, the tall trees, yeah.
The lower tree, so hazelnuts.
We can put it down in the camera, it's just not going to play ball.
So basically what you try and do is just plant out all the layers.
Yeah.
So initially what you're trying to do is you're trying to establish a canopy.
Yeah.
Because a lot of plants, they need the filtered light.
Yeah.
They don't want too much sun, especially all your currants and berries and things too.
Yeah.
And your herbs.
Yeah.
And then when your food forest is mature, then you start managing the canopy. So you start managing the amount of light, just like a forest.
Yeah.
So, you know, like in a forest.
Yeah.
The trees die.
Yeah.
Fall over, and then new life can appear.
Yeah.
That's what you do in a food forest.
Yeah.
It's just a food. It's literally as a forest.
Yeah. And have you found it difficult to grow things, or have you just been like, oh wow, and it's just happened?
Well, it's really funny. So, if you plant a plant in the right place, the right conditions, the darn thing just goes mad.
Yes. Yeah. It
just goes mad.
Yeah.
And basically that's what I do in the food forest.
It's yeah. Like,
I know where you want to grow.
Yeah.
So go for it.
Yeah.
And then I'll, like at this time of year, I'm doing a lot of propagating.
Yes. What so, does propagating mean? Oh,
so taking cuttings.
Yeah. Cool.
So,
yeah.
So like we didn't have big budget to do this food forest.
No.
So a lot of it has been from growing from mostly from cuttings, probably.
Yeah.
You know, we would have brought the initial fruit trees,
which
would have been the, they were all the old heritage varieties.
Yeah, nice.
You know, just for more, they're a bit more robust.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, a lot of all the currants, berries, like what I do is that I basically look at a plant and I think, what have I got to lose by taking a cutting?
Yeah.
And so off I go, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Yeah. And so you're basically trying to just increase that growth all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And just keep, like, you know, that's, and then chopping and dropping.
Yes.
So this time of year, like chopping and dropping, this time of year, you cut back all that, a lot of that summer growth.
Yeah.
And just lay it on the ground. So you're building the soil all the time.
Yeah.
Like, so the whole food forest is like a big compost pile.
Yeah.
Of, you know, all this, chop and drop material. And when you've chopped and dropped, well, the bodies that you've got left, you can plant them again.
Yeah. You know? Oh, wow. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, this is so amazing. I just absolutely love this. Look, everybody, sadly, they're closed till spring. We could have timed this better, eh, Deb?
Well, possibly.
We can replay this anyway. But they are open till, closed till spring, guys. This, I could talk about this for ages, and I know that I can't because I'm looking at the time and that. There is so much more to be learned, and there is so much that we can learn from coming and visiting and talking with you, because how do we learn things? We ask the people that have gone before us and done it. That's how it works. It's that easy. And the fact that a lot of this has come from cuttings and stuff like that, we can all do this.
Low cost, very low cost.
Yeah, absolutely. See that low cost, everybody. So that's amazing. Where do you and Ray see your future? I don't like future jumping. We sometimes discourage it. But where do you see this in the future?
Well, we're just having an absolute ball.
Yeah.
So like our kids have all grown up and they're off our hands. They're all happy and healthy and doing what they do.
Yeah.
And it's just Ray and me mucking around in the Tanui Food Forest having an absolute ball.
Yeah.
So I don't see any further than like the next season.
Yeah. You
know? Like we're too busy in the moment doing what we do, having a fantastic time to really think about anything more, you know? So we've got to the point where people can come around, have a look at the food forest.
Yeah.
They can buy stuff from the shop if they want.
Yes, and I highly recommend doing that, everyone.
And yeah, so Ray and I just have an absolute ball, and we're happy doing what we're doing.
Yeah, you're happy, yeah. And I love that. I like that, and living in the present and living in the moment and living amongst it. Yes.
We've got such a beautiful ecosystem. Like
you
step outside and the birds and the insects, and it's amazing. In fact, we go anywhere else and we're like, where's the life?
Yes.
Where's the life?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Absolutely agree. Deb, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your journey, or part of your journey with us. I absolutely enjoyed that, and we will be back. Just thank you so much for sharing and opening this up to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much. Pleasure. Oh, thank you. Everybody, you've been listening to me, Camille, on my show, Everyday People, here at Arrow FM 92.7. It is 9:35 on a Wednesday morning, and it is 16 degrees outside and it's mostly sunny. So why don't you get outside and start looking at your garden and thinking, what can I do here? Because like Deb said, it doesn't have to be massive and huge. It can be small where you are, and it's using what you've got. So, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Deb. And thank you, everybody who has tuned in this morning. I hopefully will be back next week. I plan on it, and we will talk then. Thanks, everybody.